We're holding on Samach Beis Amud Beis at the top. So the previous Mishnah, we learned that women and Avodim, Knanim, that is, can both become Nazirim. But we said there was a Chumrah in women over Avodim. Namely, we said if a master wants to force his Eved to violate the Neder, he can do that even without actually canceling the Neder as a whole, just because the Eved, since his self doesn't belong to himself, it belongs to his master, therefore his master can override it. Whereas with his wife, he can't. He can be made for the neder, but he can't actually just tell her, violate the neder, unless he actually intends to be made for it. So now our Mishnah continues. On the other hand, there's a chumrah with slaves over women. Exactly that. That he can be made for his wife's nedarim, and the hafara will remain in effect permanently. So even as we learned in Nedarim, that once a husband is made for his wife's neder, even if he changes his mind and says afterwards, you know what, I shouldn't have been made for it, nevertheless, it's mufar. If she wants to make the neder again, that's another matter. But right now, the neder is mufar forever. Ve'ena made for nidrei avdo, but there's no hafara for the nedarim of the eved, so he's not he can force the eved he can force the eved and tell him to override the neder, and he can't keep it. But if later on he changes his mind and says, you know what, I do want you to keep it after all, then he can do that because there was no hafara there in the first place. The Mishnah continues, hefer le'ishtoi, so that's what it means. In other words, if he was mefer for his wife, he used the lashon hafara, hefer elamis, then he's mefer forever, and the neder is bottle.
If he owns the eved, I don't know how to buy those, so why wouldn't he have the ability to be made for the eved's hafara?
Because it doesn't work that way. And in fact, as the Mishnah is going to say now, hefer labdi. As a matter of fact, we're going to say in a second now that if he's mefer for his eved, then in fact, now we're going to say now that eventually the eved will have to keep the nazirus if he ever becomes free. Meaning, in other words, yeah, the master can say as long as he wants, he can say, I refuse permission to you to become a nazir, and that every time the eved makes that, then it'll be. The master can even tell him in advance, I refuse your permission to become a nazir, and that will remain in effect. Whereas we said, we learned the other day, by a wife, it's not like that. You can't be made for a neder ahead of time, only once she made it. Now, the Rambam actually learns on the basis of the wording of the Mishnah that we're going to learn now, that if in fact he does use the word hafara with a neder, then automatically the eved is going to go free, because by using the word hafara, he's demonstrated he's not acting to him as a master towards a slave, but rather that he wants to act to him in a different way, and therefore automatically by that he's in effect saying, I'm willing to set you free. The other Rishonim don't learn like that. They learn the wording of the Mishnah a little bit different, as we'll say in a second. But that's why. So it's not that every time he's going to have to. On the contrary, he can say the one time, I refuse you permission, and the Eved never has the permission to do that. But if, in other words, the point is, though, that master could always change his mind and say, you know what, I do like the idea after all. Go ahead, become a Nazir, and then and then the Nazirus can be Chal. The Nazirus that the guy took on before can be Chal as of now, as opposed to with a wife, he can't do that. If he says, I'm made for your Nedir, there's no option of saying, I'm made for you now, but 3 days from now, I might change my mind, you can go ahead and start your Nazirus. If she wants to later on make another Nedir of Nazirus, then and he wants to not be made for that, or he wants to be Mekayim that, good. But that's the difference. So the Mishnah continues, Hefer le'ishtoi, if he's Mefer for his wife, Hefer olamis, then he was Mefer forever, and therefore some neder does not go back into effect at some later date. We don't say, for example, that let's say if later on he divorces her, or later on he dies, that now the neder until now, let's say, was in a suspended state, and now it should be able to take effect. No, it was Mufer, and that's that. As opposed to hefer la'avdoi, but if it was mefer for his eved, yotze l'cheirus, then when the eved goes free, umashlim nezirusai, then he will have to complete his nezirus. Meaning, in other words, exactly that. So Tosfos says the word hefer doesn't actually mean hefer, because we just said you don't do hafara for avodim. We mean micha. We mean if the master objected and told the eved, you can't be a nazir, I refuse your permission, Nevertheless, though, the neder is still in effect, just in a suspended state, as long as he remains an eved. Eventually, when he becomes free, he will have to do that. He will have to keep the nazirus, and we're going to see in the next Mishnah also what happens in a case where the eved runs away. So we'll get to that. We'll get to that in the next Mishnah. So now so Tosfos learns that all the Mishnah is saying is that if the master is that the difference is that if the master protests and objects to the eved becoming a nazir, then it just means that the nazirus can't take effect, but it will eventually take effect. The Rambam actually learns the words yotze l'cheiros, literally that it means that if he is mefer for the eved, then by doing that, he's demonstrating that he doesn't want to treat him as an eved anymore, and therefore, automatically, that amounts to saying, I am setting you free, and then he's going to have to go through the rest of the process, giving him a get shichrur and all that. But that's how the Rambam learns the words hey for abda yotze l'cheiros. And then once he's yotze l'cheiros, then umashlim nazirusai, then he's going to have to complete his nazirus, because then at that point he's a free man, and therefore the nazirus is able to be chal. Okay. So the Gemara starts off. Tana Rabbanan, lemar rabbi koifai. Regarding what is his master able to force him to not keep his neder? L'nazirus, as far as nazirus specifically, meaning that if the slave says, I want to be a nazir, then the master has the ability to tell him, no, you cannot become a nazir. Avaloy l'nadarim ala erchin, but not as far as nadarim and erchin. Their master does not have the ability to override his neder, and the neder will be chal. Now, practically speaking, as we're going to go through in the Gemara soon, as far as Erchin, he may not have the money for it yet, because after all, right now he's an Eved, and usually Mashakana Eved Kana Rabbi, usually whatever the slave owns, the master automatically owns, so he may not have money to pay off his Erech, but fine, that would be the same way as when a person makes a neder of an Erech when he's poor, where eventually we'll have to wait until he earns money and then he can pay it. The same way over here, we may have to wait until this Eved is free, and then he'll earn his own money and he can pay it. But the point is, the Braisa is saying, and the Gemara is going to explain now the details, that the master cannot prevent him from making other nedarim or from making erchin nedarim. So the Gemara asks, Maishna gabin nazir. So what's the difference that we're saying by nazir? That he's able to make the neder, but that the master can override it. Because now we learned yesterday from the words Va'amarta Alehem, we learned that there is a concept where Avodim can become Nazirim. On the other hand, we said that when it says lesser iser al nafshay, to make something osir on him on himself, which is the general concept of Nadarim, where of course, as we said, there's a hekesh between regular Nadarim and Nazirus. So the Pasuk is saying lesser iser al nafshay, implying the Misha Nafshay Knuyalai. So it only works by somebody whose self belongs to himself, so he's able to accept nazirus. Yotza eved chein nafshik nuloi, as opposed to an eved who does not belong to himself. Well, ihochi, if you're going to say like that, then why are you limiting that only as far as nazirus? After the gabin nedarim nami, shouldn't the same thing apply to other kinds of nedarim as well? Why don't we say that when it comes to other kinds of nedarim as well, the master can override it, because also lesser is on nafshik. So the answer is Amr of Sheshes, Hachab Maya Skinan. The case we're talking about over here, Gunchaya Eshkolan Shalanovam Munach Lafana. Suppose there was one cluster of grapes sitting there on the table in front of the Eved. So the difference is, Gabe Nidorim. So when it comes to regular Nidorim, in other words, what would be a regular neder, where the Eved would say, this cluster of grapes should be also to me as a korban, should be according to all the various formulas that we learned about in Masechta Nidorim. So fine, Deki Mitzer Bahai, if he becomes also to eat this cluster of grapes because of the neder, Loi Mitzer Bahachrini, he's not necessarily going to be also in other ones. Because he may be making the neder only on this one. Therefore, it's more logical to say that the master can't force him to override that neder. Him not eating that particular cluster is not going to prevent him from doing good work for the master or whatever, because there are plenty of other clusters of grapes available. So therefore, there's no reason that, in other words, Tosfos says, the svara is, if we're going to say that we have, on the one hand, a ribui of v'amarta aleihem, that avodim can become, that avodim are shayach to nedarim and to nezirus. And on the other hand, we have lesser iser al nafsho, that it doesn't work where he doesn't belong to himself. It's more logical to say that the miut would only be where he's also in everything of that kind, which would be a nazir. That's neither here nor there. The fact that he's half a goy, half a yid, is neither here nor there, because he's still chayiv in all the mitzvahs that Jewish women are chayiv in. So we can assume then that the master wouldn't be able to force him as far as that, because him not eating that particular cluster is not going to affect his work. Gabi Nizirus, when it comes to Nizirus, it's not just he's also in that cluster. He's not only going to be also in this particular cluster, he's going to be also in all of them. So therefore, in other words, that's going to affect his performance on wine, grapes, whatever. The point is that now any grapes that are out there, he's not able to eat. So therefore, Motzi Kofi Lei. So we can assume that the master could force him to eat that cluster of grapes, because there will be Inui Nefesh. He's not going to be able to eat grapes at all. And then that may affect his performance at work. Even wine. I mean, obviously, too much wine is going to make him drunk, and he's not going to be fit for purpose anyhow. But a little bit of it is strengthening and bracing and whatever. And so again, you could say though, but whatever. The point is, it's considered enough inui nefesh that therefore we can assume again, if we have one ribui that says that avodim can make nedarim and be nazirim, and another one a miut from lesser isra nafshay, more logical, says Rav Sheches, to say that the exclusion from lesser Israel Nafshay, to say that the master can override, is more likely to apply to Nazirus than it is to plain Nadarim, because real Nazirus is going to be much more intrusive. There's going to be much more that the guy is not going to be able to do.
Now, if we go fine a whole week without wine, but maybe those days.
Yeah. Okay. But the Gemara says, still, the Gabi Nadarim, even by Nadarim, what kind of an argument is that? Wouldn't it equally well be possible to assume that the case is, the Braisa after all doesn't specify, the Braisa just says generically that the master can force him by Nazirus, but not by Nadarim, implying any kind of Nadarim. So you could even be talking about a scenario, Deleka Elahai Eshkol, where all you have is this one cluster of grapes, De'ilai Ochel Lecholish, and if he doesn't eat it, he's going to feel weak. So what are you telling me that it depends whether there are other clusters of grapes out there? Not necessarily. There's no reason to assume the Braisa is limiting itself to that kind of situation. The same din would apply equally well.
No, it is.
The same din would apply equally well, no matter how many clusters of grapes there are. Ela Omar Rava. So Rava says, or Agoy Sabach says, it should be Abaye, actually. Could go and show you Chartzen, one of Lavanov. Take the scenario where there's a grape seed in front of him. Grape seeds are not really, I mean, you could eat them, but they're not really that edible. Grape seeds are not really that edible. So therefore, Gabi Nedarim, when it comes to Nedarim, if he says that I'm making a neder that I won't eat this grape seed, fine, b'hayahu demitzar, all he's saying is I'm not going to eat this grape seed, loy motzi kofi lei. So we can say the master doesn't have the ability to override that, because how would that affect his job performance? There's no way that it would, since most people don't eat grape seeds anyhow. But as far as a nazir, not only is he's going to be also in all the grape seeds in the world, plus also he's going to be also in grapes and wine and so on and so forth. So Motzi Kofi Lei, therefore we can say it's more logical to say that the master could force him to override the nether. So that would be so not a matter of a whole cluster of grapes, but a matter of that he wants to make a nether on one grape seed. Still, the Gemara says, still, even by Nedarim, couldn't the case just as well be where there exists only that one grape seed right now, the Eli Ochel Lecholish, and again, that may be the difference between the person eating it and feeling a little stronger and able to do more work and not. So even in that case, there could be a case involving Nedarim that the master can force him. What are you telling me as a blanket statement that he can never force him by Nedarim? So rather Abaya says, and here Agos Habach changes it to Rava. So in other words, first we had, according to the Girsa in front of us, Rava gives the answer with the grape seed, and now Abaya is going to give a different answer according to Agos Habach. It's the other way around. Abaya gave the answer with the seed, and now Rava is going to give a different answer. So Abaya says, or Rava says, what the Braisa means is not what the master can override, can force him, but what does he need to? As far as what does his master need to force him to override it? The Nazirus, only as far as Nazirus. It would mean that he doesn't have to override him when it comes to Nadarim or Shvuas, or presumably Erchin as well, since the Braisa had mentioned that as well. Meaning my timer. So in other words, Fakir, the Braisa is not saying that he can't override other Nadarim. Just the opposite. The Braisa is saying when it comes to Nadarim, when it comes to Nadarim, there's no need for him to override it because they involve Inui Nefesh, or not because they involve Inui Nefesh, but because we're gonna learn from a pasuk over here. My time, Adamakra, Lahora Oilahativ. Because the Pasuk says to do that in this past week's parasha, the Pasuk says about a Shavuos Bitui, the case where a person makes a Shavua and then violates it, then he has to bring a Korban Ola V'Yored. So the Pasuk says, Lahora Ola Hated, to do bad or to do good. In other words, we learn from that there can be a Shavua to do bad or there could be a Shavua to do good. There could be, for example, a Shavua, I will eat this food, or a Shavua that I won't eat this food. So one is doing good for himself to enjoy it, and the other one is doing bad for himself by depriving himself of it. So we learn from that, Ma HaTova Rishus Ahara Rishus. We learn from that that just like doing good is something optional, it's possible to make a neder to eat something to enjoy something or not to enjoy something. Af hara rishus. The same way when a person makes a neder to do bad, it has to be something where he has the rishus to do that. As opposed to if he makes a shvua to do something bad, then he does to somebody else that he does not have the rishus. Imagine, for example, somebody makes a shvua that I will hit plain. Or that I'll steal something from him or whatever. So such a shavua is ineffective because he doesn't have the ability up the halacha to do that. For the same reason, by the way, a person can't be nishba levatal as a mitzvah. We learned in Nedarim, for example, that a person could make a neder that ends up overriding a mitzvah. A person could say, for example, that all the sukkahs in the world are also to me, and he'll be also to sit in a sukkah unless he's matzah neder. All the matzah in the world is also to me, and he'll be also to eat matzah. That works because a neder is on the matzah or on the sukkah. It's on the object rather than the person. But a shvua, where the person says, I won't eat matzah or I won't sit in the sukkah, if that overrides a mitzvah, that won't work. Same thing, because ain't rishus biyadin. So we learn from that that the concept of shavuos includes that it has to be something where it's optional. Now, in this case, the eved does not have rishus because his service and his guf belongs to the master. So therefore, we're saying that the nedarim and the shavuos wouldn't even be chal in the first place. The master doesn't need to override them, as opposed to nezirus is different. Now, of course, the question is. Nazirus is a type of neder, and it's also depriving himself of things. So why is it any different? So Tosfos explains, because we learned at the beginning of the Masechta, we said Nazirus is chal even on something that ain harushus biyadei. We said, for example, that we talked about at the beginning of the Masechta, we mentioned it sporadically later in the Masechta as well, that nezirus is chal on yein mitzvah ki yein rishus. It's chal even on wine where there's a mitzvah to drink. Where according to most of the Rishonim, what it means is, let's say the person previously made a shvua that I will drink this wine. Now he becomes a nazir. We don't say that his original shvua that I will drink this wine still has to be in effect, and therefore the nezirus can't be chal. No, we say the nezirus is chal, and if he were to drink that wine, he'd be chayav malchus. So we see, in other words, that Nazirus has the ability to be chal even on something where he doesn't have rishus. In this case, he doesn't have rishus not to drink this wine because he already made a shvua that he has to drink it, and therefore it becomes required for him to drink it. Nevertheless, Nazirus overrides that. The same way over here, when it comes to the Eved, as long as the master doesn't object, then the Eved has the ability to become Nazir, to become a Nazir. That's what we're saying, because the difference is, because by Nazirus, it's chal on mitzvah kirushus. Meaning, in other words, in the case of an ordinary neder, it wouldn't. If a person made a shvua, I will drink this wine, and later on he makes a neder, I won't drink this wine, the neder cannot be chal, because he already has a requirement to drink this wine. But when it comes to Nazirus, we're saying that does work. So therefore, Nazirus, in a way, is stronger. Therefore, the Eved does have the ability to become a Nazir as long as his master doesn't protest. So in the case, for example, where a person made a shvur to drink this wine and now makes a neder of Nazirus not to drink it, he may still be chayev for the fact that the fact is he's being over on his shvur. That's a different matter. But we're not getting into that. The point is, though, that it is chal, as opposed to if we were to make a regular neder that I won't drink this wine, it wouldn't be chal.
Right, but
by this eved,
he cannot be, he doesn't become nazir, or he can't be his kabbarnis until after he's free. It's layach.
Because if the master consents to him becoming a nazir, then fine, then he can finish up his nazirus. As far as kabbarnis, either the master will have to give him kabbarnis, or he'll have to wait with kabbarnis until he becomes free because he may not have money, or somebody could give him money al manasche and ladab for reshus boy or whatever. We talked about that earlier in Masechta. As far as a wife who made a nedu of nazirus, how she's going to have money and animals for her korbanos. Yeah,
but he's considered a yid the way he went.
He's considered a yid. Okay, so then
that's an issue, right?
Right. So because the fact is, the master has the ability to override his nazirus. Yeah,
he's got to be korbanos.
Yeah, pashtus is in. So Tosfos also adds then, as far as Erchin, now the last answer we had here in the Gemara, Abayo, or Rava, as the case may be, didn't address Erchin. So it would mean that Tosfos learns, it means that the master's objection as far as Erchin would not make a difference at all. Because if the Eved wants to say Erki Alai, fine, it doesn't hurt the master at all. He doesn't have to give the Eved anything for it. Again, the Eved in effect is considered poor because he doesn't have any money. So fine, it just means eventually when the Eved becomes free, then he will have to pay off the Erech. So there's no reason why the master should be able to object to that and to be able to prevent him from making a neder of Erechin.
And my number who says that he can make someone else.
So that was as far as Goy. We weren't talking about Avodim over there. An Eved, again, is Chayiv in the same mitzvahs that women are Chayiv in. So the same way as a woman can be a Marich or a Nerech, the same way the Eved could. Now, with that said, though, there is some discussion about that. The Mefarish actually says that no, on the contrary, the master would not have to object as far as Erchin. The same thing would apply to Nedarim and to Erchin, because again, since he doesn't belong to himself, therefore he wouldn't have to be. So therefore, he wouldn't be able to declare an Erech. It is true. It is true that maybe actually he can't make an Erech of himself. Maybe he would be able to make an Erech of somebody else, because again, we would say that doesn't hurt the master at all, like Tosfos is saying, because after all, all it means is right now he doesn't have what to pay, but eventually he will. So that's the thing. In other words, so a couple of Achronim, the Chafetz Chaim and the Kutta Halachas and the Keren Ora, talk about that an Eved can declare an Erech for somebody else and it'll be suspended until he goes free. But as long as he's under his master's responsibility, even if he happens to have money to pay, nevertheless he can't really accept something on himself, like the Mefarish is saying, because ein nafshe pnuya loy, so therefore it would be in the same category. It would be in the same category as nedarim. Okay, Mishnah says, "Ova mikneged ponav." Now, what happens if the slave goes away from the master's presence? In other words, he runs away. So what happens if, having declared Nazirus, he now runs away? Rameo says, now the Nazirus is chal on him, and he's not allowed to drink or do any of the other things that a Nazir is also to do. Rabbi Yossi says that he is allowed to, that the Nazirus is not chal. Now, why is that? We're going to learn in the Gemara two possible reasons for the different opinions.
It depends how long he runs away for.
Okay. Not necessarily, but wait. So the Gemara asks, Lema b'dishmor kamifli, should we have to say that they are arguing regarding what Shmuel says? The Gemara says, in other words, let's assume right now that if the Eved ran away, we can assume that the master has yush of getting him back. So in other words, in effect, the master is willing to say, you know what, he's hefker, I'm not going to be able to get him back, so therefore I may as well give up on it. So now, Shmuel says that if a person is mafkir his eved knani, then automatically the eved goes free. He wouldn't even need a get shichru. He'd automatically go free just by virtue of the fact that the master declares him hefker. So are you going to say Reb Meir islay de Shmuel, Reb Yosi leslay de Shmuel? So maybe we should say Reb Meir agrees with Shmuel's concept. So therefore, as soon as the master declares him hefker, right away he becomes free. Therefore, immediately the Nazirus is chal. The Nazirus that he took back when he was an Eved, which now until now was suspended because his master didn't allow him to do it. Now, as soon as he's hefker, then he has to start. Then he has to start keeping it. So that would be Rabbi Yosi less like the Shmuel, whereas Rabbi Yosi, we would say, disagrees with what Shmuel says. He would say, nevertheless, he still needs a get shikur, so therefore he's still considered an Eved until he actually receives that piece of paper that says that he's free. So if we learn it that way, then that would be the machlokas. Do we agree with Shmuel's opinion or not? With that said, though, that's how Tosfos explains that the Gemara's Havam in it is that the Machloikas is about what is about whether we accept what Shmuel says. Now the Mefarish instead uses the expression. He says that the Gemara is going to end up saying this is something else about whether we want to require the Eved to return to his master. So based on that, a couple of Achronim, the Chazanish, Reb Zalman Sender, explain that the Gemara's original machloikas is b'chlal, when a person is mafkir his Eved, does he even go free? Reb Shmuel is saying he goes free and doesn't need a get shichur. Tosfos is understanding that they both agree he goes free. The question is whether he needs a get shichur or whether he's hef or whether he's right away free. These Achronim talk about that. No, that what the Gemara means is the Gemara's original assumption is, does he even go free? That Reb Meir holds he at least goes free, and Reb Yosi holds b'chlal he doesn't even go free. Therefore, Reb Yosi would say he could still drink because he still fully belongs to his master.
If he wants to get married, he has to have a get
shichru. He has to have a get shichru, right? But in other words, according to the way the Chazanish and others are learning the question of the Gemara, not like Tosfos, it would mean the question is not whether he's free or not. The question, in other words, would we say that the Gemara is now assuming that Reb Yosi agrees that he is free, just he's kind of in the suspended state. He can't get married to a Bas Yisrael until he has a get shichur. Or would it be he's b'chlal not free? He's still 100% considered an Eved. And if the master ends up finding him, he can force him to come back as an Eved. So what would that be? According to Tosfos, we would say the Gemara is not even entertaining that assumption to begin with, but rather it's starting with the assumption they both agree that he is free. The only question is he fully free? Anyway. So the Gemara says, Loi, not necessarily. Jekula Alma Islahu de Shmuel. You could say that both of them agree with Shmuel's concept. So therefore he is free and maybe doesn't even need a get shichur. Ela manda oma yishte. So the reason why Rabbi Yosi says he can go ahead and drink, Savar, because he figures, Sofsof, Mehadav Osigabe. Eventually the slave may return and come to his master, because what's going to happen? In other words, he's living by himself. After a while, he's realizing, you know what, as bad as it was to be an Eved, on the other hand, you know, living independently and having to take care of all my own matters is more of a hardship. I may as well go back to where I was coming from.
He might have
left his Shifra Knanis, his wife behind, who knows? Yeah, whatever. The point is, so he's likely to return. So therefore, Lishti Chamra, you have to also realize, by the way, that, you have the Rambam mentions at the end of Hilchos Avodim that technically, for example, a Jewish master is allowed to treat a slave with Avodas Perech and so forth, but nevertheless, you know, Jews are Barshanim, Rachmanim, and Goyim Lechsadim, and therefore they don't. They treat their Avodim humanely, you know, very different than what you read about in the history books about the South or whatever, you know. So therefore, a slave escaped from the South, you know, he's not going back there. A slave escapes from a Jewish master, he's very likely to think, you know what, after all, by comparison, I'm a lot better off with him.
I have food,
I have whatever, yeah. So, uh, yeah. So, uh, So therefore, said Rabbi Yossi figures, sof mahadav osigabe, eventually he's going to return to his master, lishti chamra, meanwhile we should allow him in between to drink wine, to not start the nazirus yet, this way when he comes back, he's not going to be so weak, he's still going to be full strength and able to go back to work. Ulamanda omar lo yishteh, whereas Rabbi Meir, who holds that he should not, Sava, he figures on the contrary, lahavi like Sarah, let's cause the Ebed to be uncomfortable, kihechid lehadu gabe, so that he'll want to return to his master, because after all, when he returns and becomes an Ebed again, he will be able to drink wine, because again, we said the master can prevent him from becoming a Nazir, so in other words, it's meant for the benefit, in other words, both of them were saying, are trying to do something for the benefit of the master, to make it more likely that the Ebed should come back. Rabbi Yossi says the way to do that is make sure that he's at full strength. Rabbi Yossi is saying make sure that to begin with he'll give him more of an incentive to want to come back.
If he's full strength, he won't want to come back.
No, but on the other hand, if he's full strength, then he may still figure it's hard for me to take care of myself. And you have to also realize back then. First of all, how does a person become an Eved? Practically speaking, a lot of times would be, for example, he was captured in war or something, or even that he was born to an Eved or whatever. You also have to realize back then, for example, a person, you couldn't have like now, for example, a person in principle can just, you hire a moving truck, you move to some town, you buy a house and you settle in over there and nobody cares where you came from. You know, back then, you know, you had to have your family or your friends around you to have your back. And if not, if you're a stranger in town, that's whether you have over and over the term. To stresses how you have to take care of the ger yosef ba'almana. Why? Because in those times it was a very unusual thing to have that concept. If there's somebody in town who has nobody knows them and they have no relatives or whatever, you could do whatever you want to them. And who are they going to go to? They're going to go to the judges. The judges are going to take the side of the locals because they're locals themselves. They're all corrupt over there. So therefore, the Eved may well feel after a short amount of time, you know what? I'm better off where people know me and where people have my back or whatever, rather than trying to live among people who they don't know me and I don't know them and they don't want to have anything to do with me. So Rabbi Yossi is saying that would be enough. And Rabbi Meir is saying you want to give him an extra incentive by making him realize, you know what, I didn't realize what Nazirus actually involves. For a whole month, I can't drink wine, etc. And like you said before, people drank wine more than they do now. So therefore, you know what, the lesser of two evils will go. I'll go back to the guy and he'll tell me I can't be a Nazir and fine, at least I'll be able to, yeah. Okay. Now we're going to talk about some dinim as far as Tumas Mes.
The Gemara doesn't end up saying that if he has to get Shechur or not.
The Gemara is not dealing with it. In Gittin, we deal with the question of what Shmuel says, whether he needs to get Shechur or not.
Well, it's something called get Shechur, there's a reason.
Yeah, but the get Shechur normally would be not where the master is master the Eved. Normally the case would be, for example, the Eved buys his freedom, and then the master gives him a get Shechur. But yeah, we'll learn about it in the Masechta Gittin, Bez Hashem, yeah. Okay. Mishnah says, Nazir Shigilach, if a Nazir shaved for Tahara, regularly he's finished his Nazirus, and then he finds out afterwards that he had actually been Tomei. So it depends what Tomei mess, obviously. So it depends what kind of Tumah we're talking about. Im Tumah Yedua, if it was a known Tumah, so
can you repeat that, Alexander? I think the connection is not good.
I don't know what to tell you. If it was good until now, it didn't all of a sudden change. So I don't know. Again, it might be your phone. I have no idea.
What do you mean it didn't all? Of course it did.
I don't know what can to tell you.
Can you just repeat what you just said?
Yeah, we just said that if the Nazir shaved, and then he finds out that he was Tomei or that he was Tomei at some point before that. Im Tumah Yedua, so if it was a known Tumah, if it's a tumor that other people knew about, soiser, then he loses the Nazirus until now, as usual, and he brings his Korbanus tumor and starts his Nazirus over. The im tumas tahoim ain't a soiser, but if it's tumas tahoim, as we're going to define what tumas tahoim means, tahoim literally means the depths. So it means, in other words, a tumor, as we're going to learn in the Gemara, where nobody knew until now that that tumor existed over there. You know, imagine, for example, they do an archaeological dig and they find a body that's been there for thousands of years, but nobody until now, nobody in any of the last few thousand years knew that there was a body here. years. That kind of thing doesn't have to be from a few thousand years, but whatever. The point is that that kind of thing is called Tumah Satahoim. It's called the Tumah of the Depths. We've learned about it before. We learned about it in Psachim. We learned about it here and there. But so now we're going to talk about more details of this Tumah Satahoim. So now the Nazir again, he's finished his Nazirus, he's shaved. Now he finds out that there was Tumah Satahoim. Now he finds out that at a place where he passed by, there was Tumah Satahoim. So then the din is Eino Soiser, he does not lose the Nazirus for reasons that we're going to discuss in the Gemara. So he doesn't have to do a Nazirus Tara again. But that's only if he found out after he shaved. Im Adshele Gilach, if he finds out before he shaved, Ben Kach Soiser, either way, he's going to, even if it was only Tumah Satahoim, he's still going to lose the days of Nazirus. Because now the Gemara is going to end up explaining that this concept is a halacha l'Moshe Mitzrayim, and that applies only when he already shaved. So then we're not going to make him regrow his hair and bring Korbanos Tara, but if he found out before he shaved, then we're still going to tell him that he needs to bring Korbanos Tumah and start his Nazirus. He needs to shave for Tumah and start his Nazirus over again.
But if he brought his carbonus,
if he already shaved, if he already brought his carbonus, that wouldn't necessarily help. What we're saying is, if he shaved specifically,
so then what would he be saying? Just to have that he should have to wait 30 years.
If we're saying that he doesn't have to restart, it means that he doesn't have to do anything anymore. It means, in other words, we consider that he's finished. He's finished with his nazirus, even though he became tummy because it was Tumah Satahoim.
And he didn't know about it.
He didn't know, and nobody knew about it. Is the point. So in other words, what you're talking about, let's say, for example, that, he walked on a certain road at some point during the Nazirus. Now, after he shaved, they dug up that road and they found a mess over there. That would be an example of Tumah Satahoim. So Ketzad, so what's an example? Actually, here, the Mishnah itself is going to give us an example. Yorav Litvo B'ma'ara, suppose, for example, and this concept of Tumah Satahoim, as we're going to see in the Gemara, applies not only to a Nazir, it applies to other areas of Halacha as well. It applies, for example, also as far as a person is going to be going and is on his way to bring a Korban Pesach. Also, we need to, and that's why we talk about it in Pesach. Yorav Litvo B'ma'ara. So suppose a person went down into a cave to tovel. They often didn't have purpose-built mikvahs in those days. It was very common that people just toveled in natural pools of water, such as in a cave. Suppose a person went into such a cave to tovel. The Mefarish learns that we're talking about that he was Tommy Mess, and then after being sprinkled the second time with Parandrum water, he went to Tovel. Most of the other Mefarshim, Tosfos and everybody else, learn that we mean that it was, for example, for Tumas Sheretz. So it wouldn't even have to be that it was Tumas Mess, even though it was just Tumas Sheretz. The Nimtza Mess Tzafal Pia Ma'ara, and you find a body floating on the surface of the, or Kazayas even from a mess, floating on the surface. And the suffix is whether it was there when he tovled, in which case he would have been under an oihel with it. Or maybe it wasn't there when he tovled, it was there only afterwards. Tomei, then he's going to be Tomei, because it's a suffix Tumah b'shusha yochid, and therefore mis suffix is going to be Tomei. So that would not be Tumah Satahoim. That would be the case in the Mishnah, where since it wasn't Tumah Satahoim, then he's going to need, even if he finds out after he shaved, we're still going to tell him, well, it turns out you were Tomei, not having known it at the time, but it wasn't Tumah Satahoim because it was something that could have been known by others. Therefore, you're going to now have to retroactively, it's going to have to be considered that your shaving was not a valid shaving for Tiglachas Tara, and you're going to need to start your Nazirus over again. Nimsa Meshuka B'kau Kama'ora, but if instead this Kazayis Menames was found buried in the floor, in the ground of the cave, so that would be an example of Tumah Satahoim, because nobody knew about it. So therefore, now it depends what he went in there to dip in the water for. Yorad lahokir. So now the din will be, if he went down into the cave in order to go into the water to cool off, tahor, then he will remain tahor. Because, in other words, he wasn't tameh when he went into the cave. So therefore, and the special din of Tumah Satahoim will allow us to consider him that if he only discovered it later on after he finished with his nazirus, that we're not going to make him restart it. But if he went into the cave to Tovel because he was Tomei Mess, or uh, which would be, for example, it could include, for example, where he was a Nazir Tomei, where he knew that he became Tomei previously, and now he went to Tovel from it, the start is Nazirus over. Or it could be where the Rosh points out, it could also be a regular case of a person who was Tomei Mess and Tovel, but now is ready to accept on himself Nazirus for the first time. Either way, he was Tomei when he went into the cave, then, and now Tumas HaTahoim was discovered, then Tomei. Then he will be Tomei, even though it was Tumas HaTahoim. Shechezkas Tomei, Tomei. Because the chazaka of somebody who was Tomei is that he remains Tomei. In other words, the whole concept of Tumas HaTahoim is only when the person did not already have a chazaka of being Tomei Mess. But here, when he went into the cave, he already had a chazaka of being Tomei Mess. Then to take him out of that chazaka and put him in a chazaka of Tara, you need to have, there was no Tuma there at all, not even Tumas HaTahoim. So in other words, in this scenario, he was Tomei when he went into the cave to Tovel. He Toveled over there. He thought that now he's Toher. Now, later on, we discover that there was a mess under the ground of the cave. Nevertheless, we're still going to say that he is Tomei, and the heter, the special heter of Tumas HaTahoim that we said before, is not going to apply. Therefore, we're still going to say, even if he shaved and only then was that body discovered, we're going to tell him, sorry, you have to start your Naziris over again.
And Ms. Kabanas Tomei also is.
He's going to have to bring his Kabanas Tomei also, Pashtos, yeah. So Cheskas Tomei Tomei, the Cheskas Toher Toher, the Chazaka of somebody who was Toher is that he remains Toher. Shiraglayim Ladover. Raglayim Ladover literally means the matter has feet, but it's a Gemara way of saying, as when we're going to have it in the next few Mishnayos as well, that we have a strong reason for assuming this way. So what does that mean? Tosfos and the Rosh explain that the words Raglayim Ladover mean like this. We're going to explain in the Gemara that this whole concept of Tumas HaTahoim is a Halacha L'Moshe Nisinai. Now, Halacha L'Moshe Nisinai does not have to have a reason behind it. It's just Hashem said, that's it. Doesn't matter whether we understand it or not, like a choik in that sense. However, still, Raglayim Ladover means there's still a logical reason to say that we should apply the Halacha L'Moshe Nisinai only to one case and not to the other. Because he has a chazaka of Tumas Mess, therefore we're going to assume that Tumas HaTahoim, the heter of Tumas HaTahoim, does not apply to him, only if he was Tahor to begin with. Tosfos also adds that when we're talking about him toveling versus going for a swim, the difference is, even though he's going to tovel, and you would think he must be checking very carefully that there's no tumah over there, but in the earlier part of the Mishnah, we find that there was a body floating over there. Nevertheless, we have to assume he's tumah because suffik tumah versus a yafid. We're not going to say, well, he probably would have checked the cave very carefully, and I'm sure there was no body floating in the water over there. Nevertheless, we still have to assume that it might have been there, and therefore he's tumah. So that's the chiddush of that part of the Mishnah. The chiddush of the Sefer is that even though he only went in to swim, his bapashtus is not checking very carefully, but if it's buried in the ground over there, then we still give him the heter of Tumas HaTahoim, and we say it's not considered that he's not considered fully Tomei in that sense because it was Tumas HaTahoim.
And he was Tomei before.
And then he wasn't Tomei before, exactly. So that's how Tosfos and the Rosh learn the expression Shiraglayim Ladover. The Rambam understands it a little bit differently and says Raglayim Ladover means the whole concept of Cheskas Tomei Tomei, the whole concept of Chazaka, that when a person has a Chazaka being a certain way, that he remains that way, that whole concept is based on the concept of Raglayim Ladover, that we assume that the situation a person was in before is the situation he's in now. And therefore, if we assume that if he was Tomei before, we assume him to be Tomei now, unless we have solid grounds for saying that he's Toher. And here, where we find a mess buried in the floor over there, then in the ground over there, then we don't have a reason to break that original chazaka. And vice versa, where he was Toher, we don't have enough of a reason to break his original chazaka because it was only buried and it may not have been there at the time or whatever.
Time doesn't matter how deep it is, right?
Doesn't matter. Well, it depends. If it's only a kazayis, yeah. If it's if it's buried in the ground, unless there's no space of a tefach above it, then the tumah goes straight up through the ground, right? It doesn't matter how deeply it's buried. If there's a space of a tefach above it, then it's going to be considered like a kever sosum. We learned before that's also metame kol sviva, but it's metame everything around it. But there can be scenarios where actually the tumor remains inside that hollow underground and doesn't spread upward.
Like if some guy's going into a pool of water and it's covered from the stone, you know, the natural stone.
Yeah.
Okay.
So the Gemara says menohani.
That's this word la, to cool down.
Lahokir means to cool down. Right. The shodesh is kar, which means cold.
Oh, kar.
Okay, so the Gemara says, "Menohani mili." Where do we know this concept of tumah satahoim and the kula that we have? Amar abalaza, da amar krav chiyamus meis ala befesa pisan. The pasuk says, "We're going on nazir. If a mess dies in front of him suddenly, then he becomes tumah." So, what is the word "olav"? Literally means on him. It means b'mchuveres loy. It has to be clear to him. It has to be that there's a known tumah to him. Tumah satahoim, nobody in the world knows about. So, therefore, the pasuk is implying that therefore that doesn't make him lose his nazirus until now. Resh Lakish Omar, Omakra, Resh Lakish brings a different pasuk by Pesach Sheni. The pasuk says, Ki ye tome la nefesh oi bederech rechoika. The person says, if a person, the pasuk says, if a person is tome by a dead body or on a distant journey, on a distant road. So what does it mean? Need to say the word road means ki derech, means we're making a hekesh between tome la nefesh and derech. The hekesh is ma derech begolui, just like a road is something open and clear to everybody. Af kol begolui, the same way the tumas mes has to be something revealed, has to be something known. So therefore, that would exclude tumas atahoim. Actually, Tosfos points out that the Gemara in Psachim, which discusses this, actually says that you need both psukim. Here, the Gemara is saying that Rabbi Lazar holds you have one pasuk, where Shlokish holds you have the other pasuk. Over there, the Gemara says actually you need both of them. One teaches us about the nazir. One teaches us about a person who's on his way to make his korban pesach. Same scenario. In other words, suppose you had a person who was on his way to bring his korban pesach. He passed over a place where later on we discover Tumas Atahoim. We don't say he has to bring Pesach. He brought his Korban Pesach. We don't say he has to bring Pesach Shein. Same idea. So there, the Gemara says that you can't learn one from the other and you need both Psukim. Here, the Gemara is assuming that you could learn one from the other and therefore Rabbi Lazar has one Pasuk and Rish Lakish has the other. Okay. So the Gemara asks. No, so just this is one of those cases where the sugyas differ between themselves, whether we can learn one from the other or not. Okay. So the Gemara says, Ve'ela hoditnan. Okay, but what about this that we learn in a Mishnah? Actually, it's a Braisa, so it's really supposed to be Tnan. Hoditanya, really, it's supposed to be. We're going to learn on Amud Beis. Ezuhi tumas atahoim. What is the definition of tumas atahoim? Kol she'en makira echa b'sofa olam. Only if nobody, even at the end of the world, knows about it. Av makira echa b'sofa olam ein zu tumas atahoim. But if even one person, even at the end of the world, knows that it's there, then it's not considered tumas atahoim. So now let's figure. B'shleim elamander amaki derech. According to Rish Lakish, who's learning from the word derech, shapir. Well, then fine, because a derech is open to everybody. So therefore, it would have to mean that there's nobody in the world who knows that there's a mess over here. If you have even one person who knows, then it is like a derech. El elamander amar. But Rabbi Lazar, who's learning from the pasuk Olav, that he has to know about it. What's the difference whether somebody at the end of the world knows about it? The fact is, he doesn't know about it. In fact, Tosfos points out that the parallel Gemara and Psachim says it differently. Shouldn't a derech have to be something that everybody knows? Just like a derech everybody knows. So it should be that everybody knows that there's the tumah over here, not just one person, b'sofa Olav. Yeah. The two, and furthermore, the Gemara says you have another question on this. Hoditanya, we learn in another Braisa, Hamotze mes mushkav l'roich b'shol derech. If you find a mess lying across the width of the road, in other words, again, they discovered it only later. Betruma tome, when it comes to eating truma, we're still going to say that anybody who passed by there is tome, because we're not going to have the heter of tumas atahoim for him. Benazir of asiyas pesach tahor, when it comes to a nazir and when it comes to somebody who made his korban pesach, then he'll be tahor. So the nazir won't forfeit his nazirus, and the person who brought the korban pesach will not have to bring pesach sheni. Maishna. So what's the difference? If you're going to tell me that you were learning it from a pasuk, then the same thing should apply across the board. If it's daraisa, the concept of tumas atahoim, then it should apply across the board to all of them. Ela, rather, the Gemara answers, tumas atahoim, Gemara gemirila. The answer is that rather we have halacha l'moshe misinai. and that teaches us about the concept of Tumas HaTohoim, and that Halacha L'Moshe Mitzrayim says that it applies only to these things, only to Nazir and Oseh Pesach, so it doesn't apply to the others. Therefore, we have no basis for applying it to Truma. Actually, the Gemara in Pesachim points out that we also learn from it to the Korban Tomid and the other Korbanos Tzibur. So same idea. In other words, if they brought the Korban Tomid and then they discovered, for example, that they were Tomid with Tumas HaTohoim, they won't have to bring another one. There's more about that as well. It can also maybe apply that Amman learns that it applies even to Korbanos Yochid. If the Kohen didn't realize that he was Tomei, that nevertheless the tzitz of the Kohen Gadol will make the Korban acceptable. So the Gemara says, we said in the Mishnah, Imad Shalag Dilach B'chula, we said if he discovered the Tumas HaTohoim before he shaved, then either way he's going to forfeit his Nazirus and have to start all over again. So why are we saying it depends on shaving? Man Tana, which Tana would be that says that? Amar Rabbi Yechanan, Rabbi Eliezer, Amar Tiglachas Ma'akevis. That would be according to Rabbi Eliezer, who says that the shaving is Ma'akev. We learned earlier in the Masechta that according to the Chachamim, it's bringing the Korbanos, that's the key thing. According to Rabbi Eliezer, it's the shaving, that's the key thing. According to the Chachamim, we said, even if he doesn't end up shaving, he's missing out the mitzvah of shaving, but it doesn't prevent his Nazirus from being over once the blood of the Korbanos was sprinkled. We had over there, it doesn't have to be all three Korbanos. We had opinions that it's only one Korban, but whatever the case, once that's done, then according to the Chachamim, his Nazirus is over. Well, by the same token, in our Mishnah, if his Korbanos were already brought, and then he finds out about the Tumas HaTohoim, then according to the Chachamim, he won't have to restore. According to Rabbi Eliezer, the key thing is whether he shaved or not. So the Gemara says, "Boy, Rami Bachama." So now Rami Bachama has a question in this connection. Nitma b'soich malois. Suppose the person became Tomei during the time with Tumas HaTohoim, during the time of malois, during the time of his nazirus. So let's say during the 30 days of his nazirus. Let's say v'nodeloi la'acha malois, and he found out only after malois. He found out only after the days of nazirus were over. So Mahu, what would be the din? Does he forfeit his Nazirus or not? Now Tosfos learns that we're talking about any kind of Tumah, even Tumah Yadua, even a known Tumah, if he didn't know about it at the time and he discovered only after Malois, the question is how much of his Nazirus does he forfeit? Does he forfeit the entire thing or does he not forfeit anything at all or maybe only 30 days or whatever? That's how Tosfos learns the question. There are other Rishonim who learn that the question is not on that because obviously if it was Tumah Yadua, why would we think there's a difference? Rather, they explain that we're talking about specifically Tumas HaTohoim. That Rami Bachama is asking that maybe even the Mefarish and the Meiri learn this way is specifically about Tumas HaTohoim. So specifically when it comes to Tumas HaTohoim, do we say that it matters whether he found out before Melois, when the Mishnah is saying Ben Kach or Ben Kach Soiser, does it mean that either way he forfeits the Nazirus, even if it was after Melois or only if he found out during Melois? The question would be, Mahu, Bossi Yadiyah Azlinen, do we go according to when he found out? So now when he finds out, it's not Tumas HaTohoim anymore. Now people know about it. So then the Yadiyah Acha Maloisi, so therefore it's only knowing about it after Malois, after the full 30 days of Nazirus are up. So therefore it's not a problem. Or maybe not. Maybe we go according to when he actually became Tomei, since retroactively it turns out he was Tomei then. Well, the Gemara asks, "So am I?" Well, what's Rami Bachama's question is regarding what halacha? Lemistar, are you talking about whether he forfeits the days of Nazirus? Well, what's the question? That is the question. The question would be whether he forfeits all the days. So Omar Rava, Toshma. Well, Rava says you can prove from our Mishnah that the Mishnah said, Imach le Gilach, if it was before he shaved, or according to the Chacham, before he brought his Korbanos, Ben Kach or Ben Kach Sosa, then either way he forfeits. So you have to say, you have to realize, says Rava, Hechidomi, what's the scenario? If he found out during the time of Malois, during the 30 days of the Nazirus, do you need to say that he would forfeit the days? Obviously, we're saying it, that's before he shaves. In fact, Tosfos says, What do you mean? Of course, tzricha l'meimar. You have to tell us that there's a case of Tumas HaTohoim where he loses and cases where he doesn't. So Tosfos says, fine, but the fact is, why does the Mishnah use it? Once the Mishnah uses the expression, if he found out after he shaved, automatically we'd understand that it means that if he finds out before he shaved, then the halacha is different. So why does the Mishnah need to spell out and say that, and then spell out and say, the case where he found out before Gilach, or the case where he found out after Gilach. So therefore, Rava is saying that, it wasn't necessary for the Mishnah to use those extra words. Therefore, Ela Lav L'Acha Malois. So we have to be talking about it's after Malois, after the 30th days. So it's already the day when he could bring his Korbanos. He just hasn't shaved yet, or according to the Chachamim, he hasn't brought his Korbanos yet. And Shmamina, nevertheless, we see from the Mishnah that the time when he became Tomei. So therefore, so even though he found out after Malois, so in other words, the scenario is, let's say 20 days into his Nazirus, he walked over this place, comes now day 31, in the morning he wakes up, he's all ready to bring his Korbanos, then he finds out that there was Tumas HaTahoim over there. The Mishnah is implying by the extra wording that yes, he's going to forfeit everything and have to start all over. So what's the question? So the Gemara says, "V'adayin tiboylach." Fine, but the question can still be. Rami Bachama's question is, "Kulei soiser oy shiva soiser." Does he lose the entire nazirus of 30 days, or only 7 days? We learned earlier in the Masechta that's a difference between whether he becomes tamei during malois or after malois. Where if he becomes tamei after the 30 days, then he doesn't forfeit the, even though it's before his korbanos, he doesn't forfeit the entire thing. 7 days. Just 7 days, because he has to become tamei, because he has to become tahor from tumas mes. You'd have the same question. Well, the Gemara asks, again, Laman, well, who are you asking the question according to? Ilema l'Rabbanon, are you saying according to the Chachamim that the Chachamim always say that there's no difference between Acha Malois and not? Pshita de Kulei Soiser, of course he loses the whole thing. They say that in general, when a person becomes Tomei and then even Acha Malois, then he loses the entire 30 days. The Eir of Eliezer, and if you, the Eilat of Eliezer, and if you're going to say that if you question according to Rabbi Eliezer, and we just said that our Mishnah goes according to Rabbi Eliezer, then the rule is Kol Acha Malois Shiva Soiser. We know that anytime a person becomes Tomei Acha Malois, then he loses only 7 days. So what's the question? Whether in this case, whether Tumas HaTahoim is any different, which would be the same as any other. The answer is Omar Loch. The answer is Rami Bachoma will answer Hani Miliki Nitma Acha Malois. Fine, but that would only apply where the person becomes Tomei. Rabbi Eliezer says he loses 7 days, it's only Acha Malois. Vahai Lifnei Maloisu. Here the fact is, when did he actually become Tomei? Was during Malois, because he passed over this area during his 30 days of Nazirus. He just only found out that it was Tomei afterwards. So then the question would be, so do we say that this was Lifnei Malois, and Rabbi Eliezer would agree that he loses 30 days? Or Duma Shiny Hocha di Acha Malois? Maybe the difference is over here. He only found out after Malois, and therefore maybe Rabbi Eliezer would say that he only loses 7 days. Well, so that would be the question. And in fact, the Rosh points out the question could really be according to the Chachamim who disagree with Rabbi Eliezer and say that he's always going to lose 30 days. Would it depend on whether when he actually becomes Tomei, or when the Chachamim say he loses 30 days, that would be only according to the Chachamim. That would be only Dirabbanan, rather. The concept that the Chacham say loses 30 days, if it was after Malois, we learned earlier in the Masechta, is only Dirabbanan. So now, you could ask the same thing, according to the Chachamim, against Rabbi Eliezer over here, would they say that he's losing the 30 days, Daraisa or Dirabbanan? But since we already said that our Mishnah is like Rabbi Eliezer, therefore the Gemara wants to make Rami Bachama's question work according to Rabbi Eliezer specifically. Okay, so the Gemara answers, Umina, well, again, you can show from our Mishnah, Katani, the Mishnah had said, Benkach or Benkach Soiser, Veloy Kamifli. The Mishnah had said that either way he forfeits the days of Nazirus, and it didn't distinguish when he became Tomei, whether it was Acha Malois or before Malois, or when he found out exactly. So therefore, in other words, we go according to, if he became Tomei after Malois, then Rabbi Eliezer would say he's losing only 7 days. The same way over here, with Tumas HaTahoim, the same thing, you'd go according to when he finds out, and it was after Malois, and therefore Rabbi Eliezer would say he's losing only 7 days. Okay.
So the same thing across.
It wouldn't matter Tumas HaTahoim or not. Right. Okay. Yishkoyach, everyone. So, yeah.